Boker Tov, and welcome back to another in our continuing series of Shiurim of Dan Daf Yomi. We're in the last Shiur today of the third parak of Masachet Yevamot. The Mishnah Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet presents a most curious occurrence, one that we will put a reality check to a little bit later on this morning. Shnayim Shekidshu Shtei Nashim. So two men were Mekadesh, two women. And then, at the time of the chuppah, they swapped wives. Now, we will see that that's not exactly the case. So the first thing is that when they have relations with the wrong man's wife, the other man's wife, so the chayav mishum eshadish. V'imayu achin mishum eshadach. And by the way, if these two men were brothers, they're also chayav because of eshadach, which means we're accepting the proposition, and now I'm building on yesterday's shiur, Isur chal al Isur when they are bevat achat. Now, v'imayu achayot mishum ishay al achota. Right? And if these two girls were sisters to each other, then they're also chayav because of achot isha. Now, really only one of them could be chayav because of achot isha, unless we hold that Isur chal al Isur, because one of them married the girl, so she was already eshet ish, and then when brother two married sister two, then she became achot isha. So you would have to posit isur chalal isur, and of course isur chalal isur here it is isur mosif, because as a result of this he's now usur in sisters three and on, etc. And by the way, this clause can be read one of two ways. It can be either read as alternatively their sisters, or in addition their sisters. Either way, it's the same result. Either Yochayav now because of Eshadish and Eshadach and Achotisha, or if they're just sisters and the two grooms are not brothers, Yochayav because of Eshadish and Achotisha. Mayunidot mishum nida. And the last thing here, which really throws a monkey wrench into the works, is if these girls were nida, then they're all the everybody's chayav here because of biat nida. All right. So now it's clear that we are dealing with an authority who maintains that Isur Chalal Isur every which way. That is, Isur Mosif, Isur Kolel, and Isur Batachat. And we'll go through them in the Gemara. And the result now is that Umafrishin Otan Shlosha Chodashim. And once we clarify the mistake, we separate these women from their intended husbands. They're not allowed to be with them for 3 months. Why? Shema Muberat Mubarotain. Maybe they became impregnated in this wrongful bia, and then we won't know whose child it is. So we do avchana just like we do with the megureshet. But if they were minors, so they were not of an age where they could have, we become impregnant, then we let them return immediately. We'll clarify at the end of this year who these women are. Koanot, exactly what does it mean to be bat koin, nesuot lekoin, etc. Then they are not allowed to eat truma. We'll see what that means at the end of the shiur. Okay, so now the first thing the Gemara attacks is the case itself. Hechlifu. Midi Rashiach, you know, what are we dealing with the evil people here who are swiping their wives? Tuhadatana Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya had a comment on our Mishnah. Hare kan sheshesrei chataot. He says, if you tally it all up, you get 16 korbanot chatat that have to be brought. Why? Because of Eshad Ish, and Eshad Ach, and Achot Isha, and Nida. And of course, that only could happen if this entire thing was bishogeg, because b'mezid eshet ish is chiyuv mita, achot isha and eshet ach is chayev karet, so is nida. So even mezid mika korban, if it's mezid, so what kind of korban is there? Rav Yehuda tani huchlefus. Rav Yehuda says you're right, and the proper girsa in the Mishnah is not hechlifu, they swapped, but rather huchlefu, they were swapped, meaning inadvertently. Hachinami mistabra, and it's also supported by this. Tani seifa imayuk tanot. That, well, we start proving from the very end of the Mishnah that says that if they are minors, they can go to their husbands immediately. But if this adultery was b'mezid, since when are they allowed to return? 3 months, 6 months, doesn't matter when. So the answer is no. Halokasha, pitu iktana onestinu. This is something we'll deal with in both, that there is no such thing as consensual relations with iktana. By definition, it's onus. And onus, if none of the men are kohanim, The women are allowed to return their husbands to their husbands. The only issue is waiting long enough to find out who the child belongs to. Bonus be Yisrael Mishrashari. But the real proof is in the earlier clause. That we separate the adult women. If these adults and not children, we'd separate them for 3 months to make sure to identify who the child belongs to. Halavu barot sharyin. So if they're not pregnant, they're allowed to go back to their husbands. Amazing mishari. If this wife swapping was really intentional, since when are they allowed to return to their husbands? Halav shwamina achlufu shwamina. So we established firmly that our case is a case of error and not willful sin. Now, man haitana de'ila iser kol el v'iser mosif v'iser batachat. Who is the author of our Mishnah who accepts that iser chal al iser in all three of these cases? And here it's very instructive to look at Rashi. I'll go through the cases. First, Rashi on the Amud. Man haitana de'matnitin de'ila iser chal al iser bein al yidei kol el bein v'iser mosif bein al yidei batachat. Keep going. Here he goes through. Elu shechayivin arba chataot. So we say that you chayev for each one of these avirot. Shekinesh Ruven et Rachel. When brother one married, we're going to have them be brothers and sisters. Brother one married sister one. Tchila. Yisrael Shimon mishum eshet ach. Umish ve'eshet ish. Ranu batachat. So sister one became asur to brother two, both as an eshet ish and simultaneously as eshet ach. She married his brother. Kamachayiv le Tana didan atarvayu. And our Tana says you chayiv for both of those. So he holds from Bisur batachat. Now, brother two marries sister two. What happens? Migo de asri lehanach kiddushin bechulu sharach vata. Now that sisters three, four, five, etc., are asur to brother two. Mishumachodisha asri le nami beishet achim mishumachodisha. Now sister one also gets achodisha added on. Yavagabda asur al de avakaima, even though she's already asur to him. Anu isur kolel, that's called isur kolel. Because it includes more people. In the meantime, sister one is still mutter to brother one. Once she becomes a nida, migo di itvasef isur Allah, the gabei ba'ala, now that she becomes asur, gufa isur now becomes isur asur to her own husband because of nida. And so now she becomes asura as a nida to brother two. Because she herself has become asur to brother one as a nida, and that's Yisur Mosi. So our Tana holds from all of them. What's the answer? The answer is Rav Yehuda Amarav Rav Meir. He it's Rav Meir. Tanya. We have the following brayta. Yesh ochel achila achad. It's really a Mishnah in Kritot. Yesh ochel achila achad v'chayav ala arba chataot v'asham achad. It's possible to eat one thing and be chayav for it. Four chataot is obviously all but b'shogeg. And one asham. What is that? Tamei. A person's tamei. She'achal chelev. So he ate chelev. Now, eating chelev is itself a chiyuv karet. We now find v'hu notar mina muktashin. What he's eating is notar from a korban. So now, he ate chelev, which should have gone up on the mizbeach. It was left over, and it's from a korban. So we say that, first of all, eating chelev is an isur. Doraita. Second of all, being tamei and eating kodshim. That's number two. He's also eating notar, which is three. And it's Biyom Kippur. He ate it on Yom Kippur. That makes it four. What's the Asham for? The Asham is for Mi'ilot. It's because he was Moel, because he benefited from the korban. Now, Rameir Omer Menochai Ta Shabbat Votzio B'fiv Chayav. Rameir adds in a fifth thing, which is that if happened to be also Shabbat, and he carried this korban out in his mouth, and that's how he ate it, then he'd be chayiv for carrying also. Amrlo eno min hashem. So they said back to Rav Meir, that's irrelevant because we're talking here about issues relating to eating. But but Rav Meir certainly does agree with the principle here. He happens to not agree about Yom Kippur. He would not apply to Yom Kippur because he says in Yom Kippur there's no issue of carrying. We pass them differently, of course. But nonetheless, Rav Meir is part and parcel of this cheshbon, and he accepts Yisr Kolol, Yisr Mosif, which, if you look through the case of a Tomei She'achal Chelev Notar Min HaMuktashim, you'll see all of them happen. Rameir Aliba Demat. Now, here are the cases where this guy was eating. This is a parenthetic issue. We've identified that the author of Mishnah is likely Rameir. We're going to throw another proposal out in a few minutes. But first, let's deal with Rameir. Rameir here is dealing with a situation where a person is eating kachim. Eating kachim is a mitzvah. And the fellow ate the wrong stuff. He was Tamei, he didn't know that. He didn't know this stuff was Chalev. He didn't know it was Notar. He forgot it was Yom Kippur. All these things he forgot, but he was involved in doing a mitzvah. Now, there's a famous machloka between two of Reb Meir's teachers, sort of the generation before, Reb Shimon Reb Elazar. If you're involved in a mitzvah, but you mistakenly don't fulfill the mitzvah, and the mitzvah involves some sort of an avirah also, like Brit Milah on Shabbat, and you don't fulfill the mitzvah, are you chayiv for violating, in that case, Shabbat? You do Brit Milah on the wrong kid who's only 7 days old. Right. He can't be according to Rabbi Yeshua, because he says that if you're engaged in doing a mitzvah, even if you inadvertently violate Shabbat, as an example, or Tumah, whatever, then you're patur. So he by family, you know what? He could even be Rabbi Yeshua. What's the famous case with Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar disagreed about if you had two babies, one born on Shabbos, one born on Sunday. Or there's another take on the machloket, one born on Friday, one born on Shabbos. And now it's the next Shabbos, and you're doing Brit Milah. And you took the wrong kid. Perhaps the 9 day old, perhaps the 7 day old. The issue whether Tal Mitzvah Mitzvah Vakiv, Asa Mitzvah, or Loasa Mitzvah. In any case, Rabbi Elazar says you're chayiv for Chilul Shabbat, and because you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. And Rabbi Yeshua says you're potter. So now, ki ka'amar Rabbi Yeshua ta b'dvar mitzvah potter ani mila gabi tinokot is mano bahul. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua added a new mitigating factor, which is I'm only exempt for the Chilul Shabbat in the case of the tinokot, of the kids, because I have to do the Brit Milah right away, and I'm sort of in a panic mode. And therefore, we understand that you inadvertently took the wrong child. But here with the korban, you got time to investigate what this korban is, the right thing to eat, etc. Lo, maybe Rabbi Yeshua would say yechayiv. Ah, is that true? By truma de ein zman o bahul of a kapatar, we have the same exact case with truma. We're eating truma, which is a mitzvah, and if you ate truma and inadvertently weren't supposed to, Rabbi Yeshua says you're patur for the violation, as we'll see. None. It's a Mishnah Trumot. Hayal Chavet Truma. V'nodashu ben Grusha ben Chlutza. So a guy is eating a Truma, and then he finds out he's a halal. He's not, he's a coin, he's not allowed to eat Truma. Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev Keren Vachomish. Rabbi Eliezer says you have to pay the capital plus the fine of 25%. 20% is 25% milavar. But, sorry, milgav. But you have to pay the fine as if, just like anyone else eating a truma, was not allowed to. Yeshua poter, Yeshua says you poter, because when you were engaged in it, you were involved in doing a mitzvah, you erred. So, hayit maralam, Rabbi, and there we don't claim that there's any sort of rush or panic going on. No, hayit maralam, Rabbi Barbaya, hacha betruma be'er pesach askinan. Aha. So you know what we said about that? That's talking about a case where it's truma, that's chametz, and it's erev pesach. This is mana bahul. So you are in a panic mode to eat quickly. And that's why it could be that Rabbi Yeshua only maintains you're exempt when you're engaged in doing a mitzvah and inadvertently violate the law, only when there's a panic mode, which does not exist here, and therefore perhaps even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you're chayav all of these different chataot. Now, Vayitema, there's another way to take our Mishnah and to say that it's not Reb Meir, which we don't want to say because Reb Meir is not the favorite opinion. We'd rather bring it into the mainstream. We'd rather bring it all the way over to Rabbi Shimon, who's the most lenient opinion we've heard. The Yisra bat achad valibir Rabbi Shimon. We seem to have accepted the last take on the Gemara in the previous section, which is, and we seem to accept Rav Chia's take, which is that Rabbi Shimon in Yisra bat achad says Yisra chalal Yisur. And so we'll say that our case here of the mixed up marriage happen where all these surim happen simultaneously, and it's even I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Now, Bishlamakulu Mishkachablu. I understand how the first three surim could happen simultaneously, where two brothers marry two sisters, so she becomes Eshet Ish, Eshet Ach, and Achot Isha simultaneously. That would mean that the kiddushin were given in the same split second. How could that work? So I don't need to rely on Rabbi Yosef Glili about Efshar Letzam saying, because I do the following: Shavinu Shliach, Veshavu Ini Shliach. The two brothers appointed one shaliach to avikadosh the two sisters. The two sisters appointed one shaliach, and the shlichim met each other, paga shliach v'shliach, and they met each other, and the one shaliach gave the two sets of kiddushin, and say hare Moshe v'chayim kudashim, you know, etc. Lei v'racha, and that could work, and therefore simultaneously they become eshet ish, eshet ach, achot isha. I'm good with that. However, but how do you have the Isser of Nido, which can only happen when she becomes menstruant? How could that Isser be Chal also at the same time? So we had some of Shofot, Mitoch Yud Gimel Achash Toshasar, Lichiyu V'inu. From the perspective of the men here, if she is menstruating right into when he becomes a gadol, a 13-year-old, which means the Isser Nida is Chal, just like all the other Isserim are Chal, as he becomes an adult. So in other words, you would now have to posit that the Shaliach gave the Kiddushin beforehand, and the Shlichim met and gave the Kiddushin beforehand, and the grooms were not yet 13. And the minute they became 13, when all the other Isurim suddenly happened simultaneously, similarly at that point, the women are menstruating at that point, flowing. So at that moment, all the Isurim happen at the one same time. Which, by the way, now means theoretically you can go back and reject the previous Hukimta, say you don't have to have Shlichim meet, you can have that the Kiddushin happen at different times, but that the Isurim did not affect because the grooms were not gedolim, and at that point, all the things hit. And from the perspective of the girls, because they also have to be chayav, they would have to be menstruating right into their 12th birthday, so that at the time they become gedolot, all these things happen. They're achot isha, they're eshet ach, they're eshet ish, and nida, all at the same time. Now, parenthetically, and I should have explained this a little bit earlier, Rabbi Chiya said, you're chayav 16 chata'ot, and we're going to get back to this in a minute. Rabbi Chiya said 16 chata'ot because there are four different chiyuvim here, eshet ish, eshet ach, achot isha, and nida, and there's four participants, and each one of them is chayav. The girl's also chayav. She's also liable if she has relations with her sister's husband. All right, so that's why there's 16 chata'ot here. And so we need to construct a case in order to keep it as the Isur Vatachad, where all four statuses occurred at the same time. And that's what we just came up with. Highly unlikely and nearly impossible as it is, because in order to make it 16 chataot, you have to have two grooms and the two brides not only be brothers and sisters, which means here they have to be identical twins, not identical twins, they have to be twins born on the same day, which is usually the case with twins. They have to be twins, and the girl, and they have to be exactly a year apart, and the girls have to be, both of them, menstruating into their 12th birthday, which is, of course, into the boy's 13th birthday. Otherwise, it won't work. So it is far easier to accept that this is Reb Meir with Isur Chalal Isur, but of course, we'd prefer to have this work according to the opinion that is far more accepted, which is Rabbi Shimon's, closer to the mainstream. All right. Now, mafreshinota. So we said that we separate the women for 3 months. So our assumption is that what happened was the girls were switched. They consummated the wrong marriage. And then everybody realized what happened. Immediately, we come to the rabbi and say, what do we do? That there was one bia. But we have a general tradition, which is that women cannot become impregnated on their first bia. So why is there any concern here? And we will see this come back in a little while. So the answer is that we're talking about a case where they spent the night and they had bia twice. But if that's the case, then that means that each one of them violated the relationship twice, which should mean that there's 8 now times 4, and there should be 32 chatot. Rabbi Eliezer has a particular shita in Arayot where he says it's not just the act of bia, but it's each koach, and I'll leave it to your imagination to figure out what that means, for which you're chayav. Therefore, there really should be a much higher number of chataot, and by the way, that would be quite subjective, depending on the individual, which is what subjective is, but it would not be standardized. So when he says 16, what he means is, I'm referring to koach rishon. Of course, if there's a second koach, that'll be an extra 4 chataot there, etc. Chanam and biyur rishon and koach. So the same thing when he says 16, he means there's 16 chataot minimum. And of course, if ba'alu v'shanu, then we have another consideration, which is to separate them because they might be pregnant. But if they only had one bia, then we're not concerned about the pregnancy, but the base number is 16 chataot. Good. Now, Amar Rav Lav Nachman, parenthetically, how can you tell me that women cannot become pregnant from the first bia? And we're going to go back to a seminal story in Breishi, Perek Lamed Chet, which is the story of Yehuda and his three sons, Yehuda, Er, Onan, and Shelah, and Er's bride, Tamar. And very worthwhile if you have an opportunity to read through the story even before continuing. Put this on pause and read through Breishi Lamed Chet if you're not familiar with the story. The very short version of it is Yehuda, son of Yaakov, takes a wife for his eldest son, Er, a girl named Tamar. Er is bad. God kills him. Yehuda tells Onan to do Yibum, first case that we have of Yibum in the Tanakh, do Yibum on Tamar. Onan refuses to, does what seems to be coitus interruptus. He is killed. Tamar, in her great desire to have children from this family, I'll skip all of the intervening parts, successfully gets Yehuda to impregnate her on one bia. And so we see that Tamar did get pregnant from her first bia from Yehuda. And now there's an agadic assumption that she never had bia with either Er or Onan. So we have to see where that comes from. And then we're surprised that she was able to become pregnant from one bia from Yehuda. Amalei Tamar be'etzba macha. So Rav Nachman doesn't reject that. He says, I agree with you. He said that Tamar used her finger to sort of prepare the vaginal canal for bia, so she was able to become pregnant the first time. And we have a tradition. All the girls in Beit Rebbe who do this exact thing, they're so desirous to have children that before they're married, or the night of their marriage, they use their finger to prepare the vaginal canal, and therefore the one bia, they're able to become pregnant. They call them all Tamar. Why? Al-Shem Tamar, Lomani Kashman Tamar, Al-Shem Tamar, Shemacha Be'etzba. Good. Now, but let's start with the basic premise that Tamar never had bia before. V'ahavu Er V'onan. She was married twice. So Er V'onan Shimshush Shalokadarkan. The answer is that they had anal sex with her. In Meitave, we have a challenge because we have a statement about what a woman is to do while she is nursing, and we have this somewhat unconventional opinion. Rabbi Eliezer says, for the whole 24 months, the husband performs essentially coitus interruptus, where he is able to have sexual relations, but not to ejaculate. In other words, the fear is, if she becomes pregnant, it'll become a problem for her lactation or for the child, etc. We saw that earlier in Dafid Gimel, the sugya of Shalosh Nashim. The response to Rav Eliezer negating the acceptance of this behavior was to say this is Maasei Er V'Onan, which means that we assume that Er V'Onan, both of them had regular relations with Tamar, just didn't ejaculate and didn't impregnate her. So the answer is Kamasei Er V'Onan velo Kamasei Er V'Onan. So what the rabbis meant in protesting Rav Eliezer was to say it's kind of like Er V'Onan, but not exactly. Kim Maasei Er V'Onan dichtiv ayan ba'yash ed achiv shechet arza. It's like Er V'Onan in that, like the description of Onan in Pasuk 1 on the page, that he would ejaculate outside. Same thing here. It's not exactly the same because they also never penetrated at all. They only had anal sex. Now, Bishtama Onan dichti be v'shichet arza. I understand why Onan did this. Why? Because he didn't want to have a child that would be reckoned as his brother's child. Ella Er Menalan. How do we know that Er did this at all? First of all, we know that Onan did it because it says in the text. And so how do we know that Er did this? Maybe Er was just a bad guy, a murderer or something else. That's why God killed him. It just says he was bad and God killed him. It says that when God killed Onan, it says he also killed him. And the idea is, he died for the same reason. Otomita here means not in the same manner, but for the same reason. So in other words, we know that Onan died because he refused to impregnate his wife. Er died for the same reason. So now, Bishtama Onan Mishum Lolo Yazara. I understand why Onan did it. Onan did it because he didn't want to have a kid who wouldn't be reckoned to him. Ela Er my time Avarachi. So the answer is Kiroshaloti Daber Yachish Yofya, because he did not want Tamar to become pregnant and therefore lose her beauty. Evidently, she was a very beautiful figure. He was afraid that if he would impregnate her, that she would lose her beauty. A similar midrashic direction in describing Lemech's two wives, Adah and Tzilah. Now, this next piece seems to go off on a disjointed tangent, but we'll bring it back. And that is Pasuk number 2 on the page, which you really need to look at. Pasuk says, V'isha asher yishkav ish otah shichvat zera, rachatzum amayim tamur arev. if a woman sleeps with a man sleeps with her, the wording is a little bit awkward, and shichvat zera, then they are tamei and they have to go to the mikvah. Now, the text says ota. If a man sleeps with her, which is a little unnecessary because the woman was already introduced in the pasuk, you don't need that word. So Rabbi Yehuda says, prat lekala. In other words, a kala, meaning a woman who the first time she's at bia, does not become tamei b'tumat shichvat zera. It's important to note, tumat shichvat zera is a strange tumah, because normally, tumah that does not touch you on any outside part of your body, which is called magab beit hastarim, is not metame. Shichvat zera is. Right? Semen is. Now, a kala is exempted from this, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Chachomim pratla shelo kedarka. Chachomim say no. You know who's exempted from this? Somebody who had sex, anal sex. Amar lei hon beredu Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman's son asked him, Lema kasav Rabbi Yehuda atorah chasal tachshitei kala? So should we say that Rabbi Yehuda's reason for saying that he claims the Torah exempted a bride from tumat shichvat zera is because the Torah didn't want to affect the beautiful garments and jewels of the kala, which she won't be able to wear now because she'll be tamei? He said, no, that's not the reason. The reason is because Rabbi Yehuda says a woman cannot become pregnant from her first bia, and as a result of that, this is not called really shichvat zera. Shichvat zera in the sense of seed, not as a descriptive, but rather as a teleological statement. This is a seed which is to bear seed. Now, so what is it that the Rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda disagree about? Rabbanan Sarvi Shichvat Zera, they hold that the word Shichvat Zera is there to define, because it already says a man lies with a woman. Why does it say Shichvat Zera? Pratle Ha'ara. That is to exclude Ha'ara, meaning non-penetrative intercourse. Ota, why did it say Ota? Pratle Shelo Kedarka. And that's to exclude anal intercourse. Yehuda Savar Shelo Kedarka Ha'ara Mishichvat Zera Nafka. He says both of those incomplete biot are learned from Shichvat Zera. Ota prat lekala, and he says the word ota is there to exclude a kala. Good. Kiyat Ravina Rav Yochanan kol shata achar bala eser shanim v'niseit shuv eina yoledet. We have another observation about a woman's ability to give birth. Until now we've been talking about from the first bia. Now we have sort of the opposite end of that, and that is if a woman was married and then was not married for 10 years, divorced, widowed, whatever it may be, for 10 years she wasn't married, she could not become pregnant again. Rav Nachman adds a rider on this. That's only if she wasn't thinking about getting married. She had sort of resigned herself to a spinster's life or to a widow's life, and that was it. But if she was looking to get married and she was thinking about those matters, then that part of her system is still active, as it were. Rava told his wife, who was Rav Chista's daughter, who evidently had married him after a long widowhood. The students are saying bad rumors about you, because they're claiming that perhaps you were active during the period between your first marriage and when you married me. The whole time I was thinking about you, I was anticipating marrying you, and that's why I was able to have children. Now, there's a woman who came to Rav Yosef. She said, Rabbi, you know something? I waited 10 years after with my husband, and afterwards I got married and I had a kid. Rabbi Yosef said, you should not come and besmirch the rulings or the observations of the Chachamim. The Chachamim said that if you wait 10 years, you can't have a kid. And here you're coming to say, ha, I'm living proof that it's different. And she said, you know what, you're right. In the meantime, I was sleeping around and I slept with a non-Jew, and so I was sexually active, even though I wasn't married, and so there wasn't 10 years in the middle. Good. Now, Amar Shmuel, we go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that we have to separate a woman for 3 months, in this case, to make sure, again, this is an inadvertent switch, to make sure that, if there is a child, who the child belongs to. Amar Shmuel, v'chulan tzichot lamtin shlosha chodashim, chutz migyord v'shuchur ektana. Shmuel made a statement somewhere, kind of out of the blue, where it says, all of them, we don't know who all of them is, need to wait 3 months except for a minor convert or liberated slave. Aval ktana bat Yisrael, but a regular minor, a Jewish minor, tzichah lamtin gimel chodashim, has to wait 3 months. Now, uvemai, what's the context of Shmuel's statement? He's not talking about our Mishnah. He's just talking about a general rule. Iba miyun, if he's talking about kiddushe miyun, where the girl's 9 or 10 or something, and she was married by her mother and she could walk out, v'amar Shmuel d'lo baya. Shmuel said, you don't need it, as we'll see in a minute. V'iba get to amar Shmuel chanazimna. Shmuel already, if it's talking about get, Shmuel already one time said that if a girl, even a ketana, gets divorced by get, she has to wait 3 months before she can remarry. So Shmuel explicitly said, in case a girl, a ketana, is divorced by a get, then she needs to wait 3 months. If she's, on the other hand, it's the marriage is dissolved by miyun, she doesn't have to. The reason for that, by the way, is that a gedola, the real concern is a gedola. So in the case of miyun cannot happen with a gedola. And therefore, there's no reason to be gozer. Get can, so there's a reason to be gozer. So what is Shmuel talking about here? Ella biznut. So Shmuel must be talking about a case where a woman, a girl, had relations with somebody outside of the context of marriage. She wasn't married. She just slept with a guy. So Shmuel says you have to wait 3 months before you get married. And that's true about everybody except for a gioret, who converts, can get married right away if she's a minor, and a shifcha that becomes freed. Same thing. Now, v'gazru rabbanan ktana mishum gedola. The rabbanan said that in the case of znut, a gedola is the real problem. There were gozer on a ktana too. Umi gazru rabbanan ktana mishum gedola, since when do we make such a gzera? So, in our Mishnah, it said that even though if these wives that got swapped by accident were adults, they have to wait 3 months. If they're ktanot, they don't. So, we're not gozer ktana to gedola. The answer is Amav Gidol Amarav Horat Sha'aita. He says that our Mishnah was a case of a temporary injunction, as it were, in which we didn't apply the Gzeira there. Michlal Dahava, would you tell me that our Mishnah was a real case? That our Mishnah with the two wives getting swapped and all of the details there really happened? First of all, the Mishnah doesn't say it that way. It doesn't say Maaseh. And second of all, it's just so difficult to believe. Ella Kehorat Sha'aita. What does that mean? Rav says that the ruling in our Mishnah is similar to a temporary ruling in the sense of a special circumstances ruling. Why? The chiluf lo shchiach, because the case in our Mishnah is so rare and so hard to construct that if ever would happen, we wouldn't need to be gozer because it's so unlikely. And therefore, if such a case had happened and the girls were ktanot, we would say, let them go back to their husbands immediately. Because it's so unlikely it'll happen again, we're not gozer mishum gedola. Good. That's the first version of Shmuel. According to this, Shmuel says, a regular ktana who sleeps with someone outside of the context of marriage must wait 3 months before she can marry. Leish tachrina, we have another version. Amri la amar Shmuel, leish tachrina amar la, amar Shmuel, kulan tzichot lamdim shlosha chodeshim, chutz v'gom shechoyah gedola. They all have to wait 3 months except for an adult convert or shivcha. Getting freed. But no minors need to wait, not even a regular Yisrael. So what's the case? If we're talking about miyun, so Shmuel already said, you don't need to wait. Here we have the flip of what we had before. If we're talking about get, Shmuel already said that she does need to wait. It must be talking about znut. So now we have the other version. If a ketana had znut, she does not have to wait 3 months. The answer is, and the reason for that is, that it's very uncommon for a ktana to have znut. Now, giyart meshechreret shchiach bo znut, ligzor, so why don't you make a gzerah of an adult convert or an adult shifcha? Because after all, they're presently, before they go through that process, they're living lives that are often promiscuous. So, Hudama Rabbi Yossi. The answer is Shmuel's ruling like Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, a Gioret and a Shvuya and a Shifcha. A Gioret and a Shvuya was a captive woman and a Shifcha. Sheniftu and Ishtgaru and Ishtachru. But then they were released from that. Shicholamtin Gimel Chalashin Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yudah says in all cases they have to wait 3 months. Rabbi Yossi Matir Le Aresu and Asemiyad. Rabbi Yossi in all cases said they can marry right away. Why? My Tamid Amarabba, my Tamid Rabbi Yossi. Kesavra Isha Mezana Meshameshet Bemoch. Anytime a woman has an illicit affair, she uses some sort of birth control to make sure not to get pregnant. And therefore, we're not concerned when she did something like that. If a woman's regularly married and she gets divorced or widowed, You have to wait 3 months because she had no reason to use birth control. So Abaye says that works in the case of a convert. Because after all, she's intending to convert. So in the meantime, she's being careful. Why? So in order to distinguish between a child she might have before she's Jewish and a child she has after she's Jewish. Shvuya v'shivcha, also with a captive girl and a shivcha. Nami d'shamim marayu menatri nafshayu. They overhear their captors or their owners, respectively, saying, oh, next week we're going to free them. In a month we're going to free them. They're going to let them go. So they're careful about, if they do have znut, they're very careful about it. But remember, the principal way in which an Evan Kanani or a Shifcha Kanani goes free, the principal way that's reported in the Torah, is if the master strikes them and causes them to lose a limb or even a tooth. And that's something they can't anticipate. And only the master say, in 2 months I'm going to punch her tooth out, and she knows to watch herself. So you're going to argue that Rabbi Yossi would agree that in a case like that, she'd have to wait 3 months? We even have the same machloket Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi about a anusa mafuta, a girl who was raped, which certainly she had no time to plan this out and know what's happening. Abaye has it be different. It's not that she plans it and uses birth control. She uses what we might today refer to as something like a morning after pill. In other words, she uses a particular device, whether it's a particular kind of movement or whatever it may be, afterwards to make sure that she cannot become pregnant from this. Right? And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, any time that a woman has relations that are outside the bonds of marriage, we're not concerned about. Meaning, we're not an affair, but meaning if she wasn't married, that we're not concerned about her becoming pregnant. And therefore, because she'd always be careful to do what's necessary to keep herself fat from happening. The Ida, so why does Rabbi Yehuda say we do? Maybe she didn't do the process so well. Maybe she'd become pregnant anyway, so we wait 3 months. All right, good. The end of the Mishnah said, "Vimayu kohanot, kohanot in Yisraelit lo." So, why does it say that only kohanot are nifsal min atruma? We think we're talking here about as wives, but a Yisraelit who's married to a kohen also eats truma. Why didn't you mention that? Ema imayu neshei kohanim. So say, aha, only if they're meaning if they're wives of kohanim, if the men are kohanim, they become possible from truma. But neshei kohanim in neshei Yisraelim lo. What? And if these are Benot Cohen, married to Israeli. Amar of Amar, Mamilta Amar Lan Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet told us this vort. And then he showed us how it works in the Mishnah. If a Israel's wife is raped, she's allowed to be with her husband, but she's never allowed to have truma, which and psula lekuhuna, which means if her husband dies, she can't marry a Cohen. So Amar Rav Achikamar, this is what the Mishnah said. You Kohanot Nisuot Israel. If these were Kohanot who were married to Yisrael, what would happen when their husbands divorced or them or died, and they had no kids? They'd go back to their father's house and eat truma. In this case, they become possible from the truma of their father's house. Good. In Yirtzesh, we have Baruch Hashem completed a very difficult and challenging parak, Arba Achin. And in Yirtzesh Hashem, the next podcast will begin the next parak, Hacholei Tzliv Yimtov. Everybody should have a wonderful day.